Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Dave Lee, so without further ado, here he is.
I want to move into the Word of God, and I'm going to preach from a text which is becoming, for me, the most important and my favorite passage in the Bible that relates to gratitude. In fact, it's my favorite to such an extent that it is the one passage I have preached on over and over the most in 30 years at Harvest. I checked. I rarely repeat sermons, but I've preached from this text many, many times because I love this story from the life of Jesus so much. It comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, and the title of the message is Signs of a Thankful Heart. And the question I'm going to ask you to ask yourself this morning is, how do I know if I'm truly a thankful person? How do I know if I can say the words, but how do I know that my heart is truly grateful in its posture? In Luke 17, it says this: as Jesus continued on his way toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." That's the word of God. It's a powerful story. And back in the ancient world, before modern medicine, before you could just drive to a hospital and they would take care of you, if you got a disease, it was a very, very bad thing that happened to you, because in most cases, the disease would just take its course and you are a victim and there's very little you can do. Leprosy was one of the scariest diseases. And growing up as a kid, hearing about leprosy in Sunday school, I was so stressed out that one day I was going to catch leprosy. And then my Sunday school teacher told me, the chance of you getting it in America is almost zero, so be at peace. And then I asked him, like a smart aleck, where are the places in the world where you can get leprosy so I make sure I never go there? And yet God has called me to a number of places where leprosy is far more common. Leprosy is a disease that destroys your body. And I'm not going to go into the graphic details because there are children here. I don't want to give you the same stress that I had. Let me just tell you, leprosy is one of the worst diseases because it destroys your body. And what's worse, it's one of the most contagious diseases in the world. So if you get leprosy, then the people around you will usually get, it's worse than COVID. Okay, I mean, it's terrible. And because it's so contagious, anyone who has leprosy is not, in the ancient world, especially in the days of Jesus, was not allowed to live anywhere near healthy people. In fact, the law required that you had to stay at least 125 feet away from any healthy person. You know how far that is? If I'm standing against the back wall of our building, 125 feet is in the parking lot. Now, I want you to imagine that you had a family, brothers and sisters, parents, grandparents, neighbors, friends, and all of a sudden you get leprosy and you're never, guys, I don't know what's going on. You're never, ever allowed to get closer than from here to the parking lot. And so you can never give your mom a hug. You can never high five or fist bump your friends. When they go out to celebrate birthdays, you can't be anywhere near the village. Imagine how lonely you'd feel if you got a disease and because of that disease, you had to stay 125 feet away from everyone else except those who also had the same disease and were as destroyed and lonely and depressed as you. Can you imagine what life would feel like? You know what's even more insulting is that by law, if you have leprosy and you're walking down the street, of course, you can freely walk down the street, but if you see a healthy person coming, you had to shout, "I'm unclean! I'm unclean!" so they would know to avoid you and stay far away from you. Picture what life would be like if you had leprosy. By the way, people who have leprosy are called lepers. Let me pull a Pastor Frank and just tell you, it's not this kind of leper. That's a leopard. That's an animal. And as a kid, I thought that's what they were talking about. But it's leper, L-E-P-E-R. Just say it one time, leper. No D, okay? So a leper is someone who has leprosy, and they are suffering and lonely and isolated. So it's no wonder then that when Jesus approaches a village and he encounters 10 men with leprosy, they shout out to him in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have you ever been in trouble so big that anyone who looked like they might help, any friendly face, you would just beg them, "Can you please help me?" I remember when I ran out of gas at 3 in the morning driving home from a friend's house on the highway, 294. And I was freaked out because it was the middle of the night, no gas, and I'm out there hitchhiking trying to get someone to help me. And I'm trying to look super friendly, but not too friendly because I don't want a crazy person to pick me up. And, you know, you're just hoping anyone who's nice will help you. This is basically a symbol of, "Have mercy on me, I'm stuck." I don't recommend hitchhiking, by the way. Kids, don't do it. But these men were desperate. And if you were in their situation, wouldn't you also cry out, "Have mercy on me"? I love how Jesus always responds to people who are in that kind of situation. Most people in this world just drive by. They're like, "Sorry, no, I can't." But once in a while, you meet someone who says, "I see you. What do you need?" And Jesus looked at them. If you know anything about leprosy, and I don't recommend Googling it, don't look it up. If you know anything about leprosy, you don't look very easy to look at. And yet Jesus looked at them. And he said to them a very strange thing. "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Why did he say that? Why is he telling them to show himself to the priest? That's like if you said to your mom, "I think I have a rash," and your mom goes, "Go talk to Pastor Dave." I'm like, what? You know why he's talking to the priest, okay? It's because the priests weren't just religious leaders. They were the ones who confirmed, "Yes, you have leprosy, and from now on we declare you're never allowed to come back to the village." They kicked you out. But if you got healed of leprosy, then the priests were the ones who looked at you, examined you, and said, "Oh, you're healed. You have permission to come back to join us." And so when he said, "Go back to the priests," what he's saying is, on your way to the priests, you're going to get healed. By some mysterious power, while you're walking back to the priest to show them that you're all clean, you're going to become clean. Now, that's weird because normally Jesus would heal the person right there. Why does he tell them, "Just go and show yourself to the priest"? Because he wanted them to have faith. To say, I don't experience that I'm healed right now, but I'm going to trust what Jesus said. And so they all went together to show themselves to the priest. And as they're walking, one guy goes, "Whoa, I just got a little feeling back in my hand. Hey, buddy, your skin is clearing up." And then they look at each other and they realize that while they're walking to the priest, what Jesus promised happened, they were healthy again. Do you know what a gift it is when you're sick and then someone tells you, "Hey, you're all better"? It's one of the best feelings in the world, unless that means you got to go back to school, right? Amen. But when you're really seriously sick and you're told you're better, the first feeling that rises is joy and thankfulness. Out of the 10 men who were healed, one of them suddenly says, hey, I should go back and say thank you to the man that did this for me. And I want to just look at his life very quickly and show you some signs of how you know you have a heart like his. The first is easy. A thankful heart gives thanks. All 10 lepers were healed, but only one of them says thank you. And I love what Jesus says. Hey, I don't know if my math is off, but sorry, this is not working, guys. I don't know what happened here. If you could just advance, whoa. Could you advance just to the slide that has, oh, there it goes. Guys, what's happening? Right, here we go. Okay. I love how Jesus says, hey, my math is off, but weren't there 10 guys? How come only one came back? And I don't know if it were me, I'd be like, did only one of them get healed? I thought I got all 10 of them healed. But all 10 were healed. Only one came back. That's it? Thank you. All right. When Zoe was very little, and I'm sharing this story with her permission, okay? Zoe is such a cutie when she's little. As the baby of the family of four kids, she had a very healthy self-esteem because everyone told her she's cute and she's awesome. And I love that. One day, we gave her a really nice gift, something she really wanted, something she loved. And she was shouting, I'm awesome, I'm awesome, I'm awesome. And I remember asking her, Zoe, what would a non-rotten person say in this situation? And she looked a little confused. She goes, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky. And she's just guessing. And I realized how cute it was. It was like this childish heart that's so full of happiness over good fortune. And what she's full of is joy over being blessed. And what doesn't come naturally to us, what we have to teach children is that's great, but there's a difference between being happy, being thankful, being feeling blessed and lucky, and giving thanks. Gratitude is not just a feeling, it's something you're supposed to do. And so there's lots of people in the world who are not even religious. They feel thankful all the time. And I wonder, thankful to who? I know what we are thankful for, but who are we thankful to? Did you ever see that meme on social media where the person is cutting a steak and goes, I want to thank me for buying this delicious food. I want to thank me for preparing it. I want to thank me for eating it. And it's the most honest video that's out there on social media. Unless you know to thank God or someone else, most people just thank themselves for everything good that happened to them. And so we eventually taught Zoe to say thank you, and she's really good at saying thank you now. This man in the story shows us the difference between being thankful and giving thanks. All 10 men were thankful, but only one returned to say thank you. And that matters. A thankful heart acknowledges that God did something for me, and he deserves my thanks. Let me give you a second thing quickly, and that is that a thankful heart is humble before God. In the next slide, it says that this man fell to the ground at Jesus' feet. He wasn't just like fist bump, thank you, man. That's a solid. I got you back next time. It wasn't that kind of a thank you. It was, I had no hope of ever visiting my family again, of ever looking in the mirror and feeling good again. And now I am better. Thank you so much. And it was acknowledging I didn't get healed all by myself. You did this for me. The Apostle Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 4:7 a very important question. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Let me ask you a question, especially you young kids, because it's a more recent memory. When you were born, kids, did any of you come out of your mom with a suitcase? Anyone? Be like, oh, I'm here and I got all my stuff with me. How do you come into the world? How? How do you come into the world? With nothing, naked, literally not even clothes. You just come out all goopy and slime. And you're just like, hey, I'm here and I got nothing. How do you leave this world? With nothing. At least that time you probably have something on, but you don't actually get to bring anything with you when you leave this world. So everything that you hold in your hands between the time you come and the time you leave is given to you by God or by someone else. Thank you.
Is this better? All right. What is important is that we acknowledge that everything I have ever held in my hand while I'm alive came to me from God. I may work hard, but even the ability to work hard is a gift from God. And I've met precious people who wish they could work hard, but there is a challenge they face where they can't even do that and need to be cared for by other people. Don't give yourself too much credit that you got yourself everything that you have. You may have a perfect body, but even the ability to exercise and see that happen to your body is a gift from God that many other people don't have. You know what's great about Jesus? Only one guy came back. He didn't go. If I were Jesus, I'd be like, then I'm going to take away the healing from the other nine guys. I'll teach them. You get your leprosy back. How's that? You ungrateful guys. Thank God I'm not Jesus, right? But Jesus lets them all stay healed. All 10 still have no leprosy, but only one of them got more than healing. One of them got Jesus. You know what's crazy at the end when it says, hey, get up. Your faith has made you well. That was not a medical statement, but in the original Greek language, what he's saying is your faith has saved you. That's the word. Everyone else just got better physically, but you have met the living God. And from now on, your faith has made everything different for you. You will know this living God for the rest of your life. And when you pray, you will pray to me, and I will answer you. When you die, you will never have to wonder again what will happen to you. I have you in my hand. I've already run out of time. Let me give you one last thing quickly. And that is that a thankful heart shares what God gives. This part doesn't come from this passage, but it's a very important thing I want to teach you. And I want to teach you through a map. Okay, this looks a little bit like school, so don't get upset at me because I want to show you something really important. In the land of Israel, there are three important bodies of water. There is the Sea of Galilee way up there, and then there's the Jordan River that goes all the way north to south, and then it ends in the Dead Sea, and the water flows in that direction. From the north down to the south, okay? The water that is in the Sea of Galilee comes from rivers and from rain and from melting snow, and it's full of fresh water, and tons of fish live there. That's why Jesus was a fisherman. All his friends were fishermen on that lake. Whenever they caught tons of fish, it was on that lake, the Sea of Galilee. But then the water from there flows out of that lake, down the river, and into the Dead Sea. The problem with the Dead Sea is that once it's there, it's like a mud puddle. There's no place for the water to go out, so it just collects there. It stays, and the water that comes into the Red Sea, into the Dead Sea, never goes out. And because that water just sits there, over time, the water evaporates, and then you have all this salt built up in the Dead Sea. And the reason it's a Dead Sea is it's so, so salty that nothing can live in that sea. It's huge. It looks like it would be full of fish, but if you threw a fish in there, it would die instantly. I want to show the next slide. It's a photo of the Dead Sea. That's how much salt piles up. It's a salty, salty sea. By the way, do you know that if the saltier water is, the easier you float? If you go to the Dead Sea, you could float right on the surface without even paddling, and you just don't sink. That's how dead that sea is. It's so salty. This is a good lesson for us when you go back up to the other slide. go one back. There you go. This is a lesson for us about the way God made our human hearts to work too. When good things flow into us, God wants those things to sit there for a while, but he wants them to flow out of us. And the more things flow into and out of us, the more alive, the more healthy our hearts become. But some people have a heart that everything comes in and nothing ever goes out. They just gather all the blessings and they never share. Everything I have is my stuff. Why should you have any of it? It's mine. I worked for it. I earned it. It's mine. And God says to us through stories like this, if all you do is receive and you never share or give, a selfish heart becomes a dead heart. How many of you ever met a selfish person who never shared with you and you thought, when I grow up, I want to be just like them? They're such wonderful people. I like spending time with them. We all of us can't stand people like that. Because we all know a selfish heart is a dead heart. And it sounds strange, but the more you give away, the richer you feel. The more things come out of you, the more alive and healthy you become. I'll close with just these two Bible verses that remind us. The first is from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, give as freely. One up. Is it not there? Darn it. Give as freely as you have received. And then in Hebrews 13, 16, the writer of Hebrews says, don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Do you have a thankful heart? This is more than a habit of learning to say thank you. Do you have a heart that is thankful? Does it drive you to acknowledge that what I have was given to me? Does it make you humble before God? A person who worships God has trust and faith in God because you didn't do these things for yourself. And do you have a heart that wants to share what God has given you, or simply a heart that wants to collect and keep everything which you have received? Most sermons, we ask you to go home and put it into practice sometime. Today, we're going to give you a chance to practice something right away. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you like look into your neighbor's eyes and sing songs to them or anything like weird like that. We're going to do a little exercise to help you practice gratitude. In addition to giving thanks to God, it's important that we learn how to say thank you to the people God has used to touch our lives in some way. And we're going to have the ushers pass out a thank you card to each of you. If you're old enough to write, please get a card. Okay, even if you're a kid, if you know how to write anything at all, grab a card and grab a pen. So pass them down the rows, and as you get them, we're going to play a little music, and we're going to ask you to spend some minutes thinking about who you are thankful to. Who has God used to touch your life? And especially think, is there someone who has touched me, but I have not really expressed well how grateful I am to them? Would you please take a moment and write a card of thanks. And if you wrote it to a person, I want you to seal it, write their name and later their address. And if they live close to you, just give it to them. But if they live far away, mail it to them. Now, as you're getting your cards, I want you to note also, there are some of you who are sitting here and you're not in a very thankful mood. You're having a hard time. And even though you want to be thankful, you feel like right now there's nothing to be thankful for. Life is just bad. I understand that feeling. I want to ask you, don't write a letter to a person then. Would you consider today writing a short note to God? And say to God, even though my life is great right now, remember what Jesus has done for you at the cross. That he forgave your sins, took away your shame, promised you healing for the things that others have done to you. Remember the promise he said that the Spirit of the living God is going to live in your hearts because of him. that God is not someone far away, but because of Jesus, God is someone who lives inside of you. That on the worst day of your life, you still have hope because of what Jesus did. Would you take a moment, and if you cannot be thankful for anything or thankful to anyone else today, would you just write a short note of desperate thanks to God? And if that's where you are and you've written a letter to God, take it, seal it, write on the envelope, thank you, God, and hang on to it somewhere. Maybe put it in your Bible, if you have a physical Bible, or put it on your desk where you can see it. And the next time you really need to remember, open it up and read that card again and say the same words to God. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. Sit with it and write some words to someone you need to say thank you to. If you had a hard time thinking of who to write to or what to write, hang on to the card. Don't throw it away. Carry it with you until you feel ready or until the Lord brings someone to mind. If you need to keep writing, you can do that. But I want to pause right now just as we conclude this time to say a brief word of prayer together. Let's pray. God, thank you for being the greatest gift in each of our lives. Thank you for making yourself known to us in some way and for calling us to respond to you, to reach out for you. We also want to thank you that you have used so many people along the way in our lives to touch our hearts, to hold us and listen to us and care for us in ways that you would if you were in the flesh with us now. Thank you for these people who have been a blessing to us, the hands and feet of God. We thank you for an opportunity just to pause and express our gratitude. We pray that as these people receive our cards, their hearts would be touched and their energy would be lifted and they would continue living their lives to be a blessing to others. And we pray especially for those who struggled today to feel thankful, that God, you would remind them of what a good God you are. Encourage their hearts, touch them, show them your face, and lift their spirits. Thank you, God, for who you are and all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and stand on your feet as you receive the word of blessing. May God remind you, no matter what the state of your life today, that He has given great things to you. You woke up this morning with the breath of life in your lungs. He has carried you this far in spite of obstacle after obstacle. And on the cross, His Son Jesus made possible for you forgiveness, hope, newness of life. And all this comes from a God who loves you the way a father loves his children. May this be the foundation of a thankful heart for each of us. And then may He call to mind for each of you the many people in your life who have been God's gifts to you. May God's house today be filled with gratitude. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.